Ira, your vehicle, your beautiful 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. I don't think the listeners realize right now that you are completely outfitted in Bill Curry Ford gear. It even appeared on your Identity Tampa Bay, the Tampa 2 show with Derek Brooks. You're wearing your Bill Curry Ford gear. It's everywhere. Is this where you tell everyone to go everywhere across the Bay Area to go talk to Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford?
You know, I just can't say enough about it. I mean, Bill Curry Ford, fantastic showroom, and they put a lot of capital in making improvements. They're not sitting still. They're at the top of their profession and still getting better. The showroom is great as it is. The technicians, I think they got 50 master mechanics. It's incredible. And the deals are unbelievable. Steve, this is not a dealership that waits till July 4th or Labor Day to have these cut rate deals. They have them year round. And you go in, you get the Ira Kaufman discount. Just talk a little bucks with Sean Sullivan, and you're going to walk out with a great vehicle, and you're going to be very happy.
Right now, Ira, pre-owned vehicle clearance up to 50% off on used vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. You can shop right now, BillCurryFord.com. The large majority of them, Ira, actually come with their nationwide lifetime warranty, and of course, that comes on every new vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Lee, how is your, was that an F-150 you got there? How is that thing running for you?
I've never had any trouble with it whatsoever. Fantastic. And what's more fantastic is the service I get, Bill Curry Ford. I'm not saying that just because, you know, they're cutting us a check. I'm sincere about that. I used to go to a couple other Ford dealerships, and I'm not knocking them at all. But Bill Curry Ford, they're like, hey, I mean, the service is fantastic. And I know Jennifer Curry, owner of Bill Curry Ford, she likes to use the phrase, you know, the Bill Curry family, like to treat customers as family. And I really get that impression when you go in there. They do treat you as family. It's like they're looking out for you.
BillCurryFord.com.
Well, wait a minute. These Tom Brady comparisons are stupid. I will stand tall.
Buccaneers fans, a new week is upon us on the Ira Kaufman podcast, which marches on all the way to the regular season. This is the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira himself, the King of Newport Richie. Here he is. It's not me. Here he is, Ira Kaufman, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, Ira, 61 years, and now Sean Sullivan, GM, is there, carrying on the family tradition of amazing service. Ira, how are you?
I'm on edge, just like every Buck fan. They all want to know what the heck's going on with the schedule. And this stuff's coming out in drips and drabs, and Tony Dungy's weighing in.
Yeah, Ira, all we've got so far is one piece of the 17-game pie, which is Dallas opening at the Bucs September 9th, the big Thursday night opener in Tampa, 8:20 p.m. kickoff. And the rest is coming.
You know, we're going to know shortly. We shall see. I'm also hearing maybe New England on Thanksgiving. The speculation is going to end soon enough.
Absolutely, Ira. Now, just to reset, and of course, Lee DeKemper is here of Joe Bucks fan. I'm Steve Isbitz. To reset, we discussed this a while ago, and Ira, you, amazingly, as you just have the pulse of the people, your feeling was the Saints would be the opening game. And we did a poll.
I did throw that out there.
You did. Yeah. You did. And we did a poll at JoeBucksFan.com. I asked the readers, who do you want the Bucks to open with? The winning total at about 30-something percent was the Saints. So you were in tune with the people in some way. Ira, Lee was with the Cowboys as the choice for the network. Ira, otherwise, you're on edge, though. You said, does that mean you're not eating anymore? What's going on?
Down eight and driving. Down eight, baby. In fact, one of our guests that we're going to have later this week, when I talk to the guy to try to arrange an interview with us later this week, which we're going to have, one of the first things the guy said to me after he said, yeah, he'd love to do the show is, how's your diet going, Sage? You know, Steve, it just shows the length and breadth of this podcast. Mr. DeKemper, I need to say good morning to you, sir. Everybody's listening to this podcast, DeKemper, so you better watch what you say today.
Well, the public is smarter than some people give them credit for, and this is the perfect example. They listen to you, Ira.
Just want to jump in, Lee, and say congratulations to you for picking the opener as the Cowboys. I was with the Bills as the opener. Ira, of course, man of the people he was in tune with the readers, the voters. thinking, hoping it would be the Saints, not to be the case. But go ahead, Lee.
Now, speaking of that, I got to ask you something. I know you don't like to speak ill of your tight contacts, and I don't expect you to. But speaking of Thursday opening night game, Super Bowl champion Thursday night, and the Bucks having to play up in Philadelphia, some guy on Twitter swears that that Thursday night game in Philadelphia was a Rich McKay production. That the NFL went to the Bucks, asked, "Hey, is it going to be okay with you? We open the season in Philadelphia, brand new stadium, blah 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 blah." And Rich McKay rubber stamped it. Yeah, yeah, sure, we don't care.
But yeah, I hope that's not true. I hope McKay did not agree to that. I don't think it was a Thursday night game. I think it was a Monday night game back then.
You're right.
And the Bucks won 17-0. Jurevicius just made a couple of great catches, and the Buck defense was the Buck defense back then, before the infamous meltdown against the Colts, and they were never the same. But I would be surprised if McKay agreed. You know, that would have to be run past the Glazers, Lee, and I don't think they'd be too happy about that. That is the last time, other than I think there was a schedule conflict one other time since then, where a Super Bowl team opened on the road. But tradition's tradition. Bucks are going to be home. It's going to be a Thursday night. Steve, on your poll, which got a lot of views and a lot of responses, Steve, in a short period of time, God bless our Buck Nation for responding. Steve, I think part of the reason, not all of the reason, because everybody knows the Saints and they're the arch rivals and they've won the division 4 years in a row. Let's face it. But I think part of that, Steve, I think you'd agree, is with Breeze's departure, we're probably going to have Jameis Winston in town. 75% chance Winston starts that game. I don't know if he can hold the job, but he's going to have the job, I believe, coming out of camp. Buck fans want to see Winston. Some are going to cheer for him. Some are going to boo him. But whatever it is, he gets a reaction from the Buck crowd.
You're right, Ira. And of course, it's not Jameis for opening night. It is the Cowboys. Peter King had that narrowed down to Bills and Cowboys for opening night. And we know his sources are excellent with the league. I forget the guy he always talks to who makes the schedule.
Howard Katz is one of the two guys that are heavily involved in doing that schedule. It's almost like the cicadas every 17 years rise from the ground. King almost every year after the schedule release, it's like the 11th commandment. He must do a feature on Howard Katz. And him and Howard Katz are like, I think they might sleep together. And Katz is one of the two guys. The other guy is Mike North. No, not that Mike North. And those two guys put the schedule together. So I trust King's sources.
Now that you mentioned something about Peter King always going back to a main guy every year, Lee, it happens a lot. And I'll give you an example. Hubert Mizell was the longtime columnist for what was then called the St. Petersburg Times. And he was a good columnist. And he would battle Tom McEwen. And, you know, McEwen, you know, it was formidable to go up against because McEwen knew everybody. And McEwen was playing golf with Steinbrenner and John McKay and Bear Bryant. And that's tough to face on a daily basis. But every year, Mizell, and maybe more than once a year, he would write a column about his good buddy, Bobby Knight, for whatever reason. Loved Mizell, called him his favorite sports writer. I'm not sure that's a compliment when you look back at everything that Bobby Knight ever got involved in. But, Steve, you know that's a common thing in our business, especially for a columnist. You wake up one day, you don't have a column. You call Dick Vitale, you got a column. Yeah, you call Bobby Knight if he likes you. You got a column, and Steve, it happens. And Peter King's got his favorites, too. And he goes back and he taps the well on a regular basis.
Either way, it'll be an exciting time on Wednesday night, Ira, as we get the schedule. And then fans can make plans. They're talking about, even in New Jersey, they're talking about full stadiums for the Jets and Giants. So
wow.
Things changing around the NFL. Ira, you know, the Hall of Fame this year, you know, you're going to be voting out in Los Angeles. And I think there's a reasonable chance that the Sage will be flying solo out there. And if your wife is home with Cosmo, if there's an emergency at home, who have you told her to call? What is the number and the name that is on your refrigerator, Ira?
It's right there. Josh, Florida's Elite Restoration. Saw Josh a couple of weeks ago. because I had to pick up a couple of those gift certificates that he was so gracious to donate to our draft night. We know Josh. We know his people. We've met them. He's got a solid group there, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first call if there's any mold issue. Or even if you perceive that there could be a mold issue, you don't sit on that. You call Florida's Elite Restoration right away.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com is where you find all of their services, fire damage, wind damage, flood, mold. They're going to help you. They'll be that honest voice in a time of serious need, give you a free, honest assessment. Then you can plan, and they will assist you navigating with your insurance company if that's necessary. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, one thing that isn't changing, Ira, is the intrigue of really all of the football world as far as Tom Brady's role in making decisions with the Bucs. And Jason Light was on Peacock Network with Rich Eisen, and Eisen really pushed him. He was careful. He was like saying, hey, I know this is sensitive ground and all this stuff. But he pushed him on the whole decision-making process at one Buck as it comes to Tom Brady. Eisen even said to Jason Light, oh, I know this is touchy and I'll approach it gingerly. But, you know, he was basically asking Light, look, what's the deal? How involved is Brady? And what do you come to him with? How do you make these decisions with him? And what's going on? And Light pretty much explained that he did his best to explain that it doesn't work that way. That's not Tom. And we love to run things past him and he likes that. But, you know, we don't have meetings where we go over the board and talk about our plans. He trusts us, blah, blah, blah. Light said he never talked to him about the draft, which almost seems a little odd. If Brady, just out of pure curiosity and competitive nature, you would think he would have contacted Arians or Light and said, hey, what are we doing in the draft? You want me to look at anybody? What's going on? What are we thinking? But Light sold that. And of course, he emphasized that Brady trusts the organization. And why wouldn't he? And I don't doubt Light, but I just think there's a little more gray area there, Ira.
I think there's a little bit more to it. Whatever Light responded, I think the Brady effect is a little more than he's going to respond. That's my sense of it. In other words, he said, well, you know, we talk at times on with Brady. I think it's more than that. For example, Giovanni Bernard. All right. I don't think he's going to be the number one back. Maybe you guys think he will. I'm saying unless a couple of guys go down, he's not the number one back. But having said that, Lee, he's an offensive player, and he's a weapon and a potential target for Brady, especially on third down. And Lee, what I'm saying is there ain't a doubt in my mind, not a single doubt, that Light had a fairly extensive conversation, not just running things past, an extensive conversation with number 12. And why shouldn't he? I don't think that's a bad thing, Lee. I'm not letting Brady make my first round draft pick. And if he did, he probably wouldn't take Joe Tryon and probably never heard of him. But Lee, when it comes to Giovanni Bernard, Brady's involved. I'm sorry. And I don't have a problem with it. There ain't nobody like Brady. There ain't never been anybody like Brady. He just got you a Vince Lombardi trophy. And you would be nuts to make, I think, what could be a fairly substantial addition to this offense without getting Brady's input. And if Brady said, I don't really like this Giovanni Bernard, I've watched him for 8 years in Cincinnati, I don't think he can help us. I really think that would cast a lot of doubt in Light's mind, maybe enough that they don't bring in Giovanni Bernard. Lee, Brady's involved, and he's involved extensively.
I don't doubt that either. And you brought up Bobby Knight a little earlier. Someone put a gun to my head. What's one guy you never got a chance to interview that you always wanted to interview and that you tried to interview and never got anywhere? It would be Bobby Knight. I've always been a Bobby Knight guy. I love Bobby Knight. And Bobby Knight has a saying. It's like one of my favorite sayings. Nobody knows me better than me. I'm confident that the Bucks, whether it be Light, whether it be Arians, hell, whether it be Clyde Christensen, have gone to Brady to talk about, let's say, for example, third down offense. Brady knows better than anybody else what he can and can't do. So I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, the Bucks went up to him and said, hey, we got a chance to get this guy, that guy, and Giovanni Bernard. What are your thoughts on these guys? Can you work with them? Can they work with you, et cetera, et cetera? You know, I don't know Brady how many Bengals games he's watched. So, I mean, you'd have to be a maniac unless it's your job to monitor Bengals games. Even a Bengals fan would have to be a maniac to watch their games. They're so bad. So I don't know how many games, how much tape he's watched of Giovanni Bernard. He probably knows about him, but it wouldn't doubt me whatsoever. And in fact, it would be intelligent if they had discussions with Brady about, okay, let's upgrade our third down offense. We can get a guy in here. It's a better pass catcher than Fournette or Rojo. What do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? What do you know about them? You know, to me, that's just intelligent business. So I agree with you, Ira. They've gone to Brady. They consult with Brady. I don't know how involved he is. I don't know if he's actually sitting in Clyde Christensen's offense breaking down tape in the middle of February or in the middle of March. But, and I'm sure Bernard was just one of a handful of targets, potential targets they threw across his, I can't say desk because they probably weren't at his home, but, you know, threw across his dial, so to speak, to get feedback from him. If you don't do that, you're dumb.
For any Buck fan that's trying to overreact and say Brady's running this organization, then no, that's not true, nor should it be ever. But it's the smart move. Steve, when you're talking about an offensive piece, you don't think Brady weighed in on Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette and Giovanni Bernard? He's earned the right. There's nobody like him. And you'd be a fool to surprise the guy. And you're going to bring in Giovanni Bernard and you're not going to talk it over with Tom Brady. At the same time, Steve, Tom Brady did not make the Joe Tryon pick and had no influence on it, nor should he.
I'll even throw it out there, and of course we'll never know, or maybe it'll be in the book, Ira, that you're working on, Bruce Arians' book that's coming out later this year. But I would venture to say that in their first conversation, Bruce Arians, Jason Light, Tom Brady on the phone, that the discussion of who they were going to draft, as far as we're drafting a right tackle, Tom, in the first round, that came up. And I'm sure Brady, I would guess, brought up, hey, I think I can get Gronk and Antonio Brown here. But no, Tom Brady's not running the team. I don't think he's picking the defense. And obviously he didn't have a say in the coaching staff. And they're not even running his offense, even though they made some adjustments. So, but I hear you. It's always a fun topic and it'll always be a fun thought process. And if the Bucs don't fare that well this year, let's say they lose in the playoffs before the NFC Championship game, you know, then the question comes back, if Brady stays, well, where does he want to tweak the offense? Because they're losing this and that. And, you know, it'll all come back again as far as what's his input going to be in making those tweaks that they need, which running back do they keep? So it's kind of fun stuff.
Are you suggesting, Steve, that Brady was not part of the interview process with KJ Britt?
No, yes, that is what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that didn't happen. He was not there for KJ Britt. Ira, before
his
I tell
beagles.
You. Yeah, exactly. His beagles. But Ira, Jason Light was talking last week to your good friend, Ian Beckles. And.
Well, wait a minute. Is there a show that Light won't do? So why can't he do this podcast? I've asked him twice. I'm going back and I'm going to ask him again, gentlemen. You cannot shun Joe Bucks, man. It is not acceptable.
Just to be fair, Ira, Jason has done the podcast before. It's been quite a long time. He even sat down on local radio with me and Lee when we were filling in as hosts. And he does take your phone calls, and we know how annoying you are on a regular basis. So, yeah, if Jason always knows, he's got an open forum here. But you are going to be tough on him, Ira. I know that. in all seriousness, Jason Light, he made a bold statement for a guy who's not a coach. He said that, I'll quote him exactly. He said, and I think we're going to see a difference, you know, on third down and passing situations with a reliable guy like himself to come out of the backfield, talking about Bernard. You know, that's a pretty loaded statement in a lot of ways for a GM. One, he's not calling the plays. Two, it sort of sounds like, yeah, we didn't really have any reliable backs out of the backfield, or at least to the standard that we wanted. You know, this is a team that just won a Super Bowl, and now you're saying third down's going to be different. That's the money down, Ira. A pretty bold statement there by the GM.
I'm a little surprised he said it, Lee. But you know what, Lee? That reinforces our previous feeling that he's had extensive conversations with Brady. So
He's not going to make a statement like that about this offense and be so specific about it unless Brady has basically, you know, engineered this whole thought. We thought from the beginning Bernard's role is going to be primarily on third down. The only thing that surprises me about it, Lee, is, you know, you got to say Fournette in the postseason, he showed some hands and he showed some skills. He showed his previous skills that, you know, he had in Jacksonville. He caught 76 passes before he joined the Bucs in one season. But he struggled for much of the year running, struggled catching the ball. And, you know, he was pretty darn effective as a receiver in January. So it looks like Bernard's already been anointed as the third down back. I'm not shocked, but I'm a little surprised that Light would say it in April or May.
You guys act like Light never has a drink with Arian. I mean, come on.
Maybe more than one, Lee. Maybe more than one.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I'm just going to take a leap of faith here and just guess that Arian's, oh, by the way, mentioned that maybe they'll use Bernard a little differently on third down than they used Roger. Just a hunch, you know.
Absolutely. I just think it's interesting for the GM to actually say it before they've even seen him practice. It's a lot for him to say, only because GMs don't usually talk about coaching and usage. And, you know, and of course, he loves Keyshawn Vaughn, and they pay him Fournette pretty well. And Rojo's had such a stunning year. It's a pretty bold call, I think, for May. That's all.
I know what you're saying, Steve, because most of the time when you ask a question, especially Light, he'll say, well, that's up for the coaching staff to decide, Steve. That's a standard answer. And he veered away from the standard answer. So read into it what you may.
Guys, a quick trivia. Bucks trivia. Ring the bell, Ira. Bucks trivia. Very fast trivia.
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go. How many catches did Ronald Jones have in the postseason?
I'm going to say one.
Ooh. I was going to say the same thing, so I'll go two. I'll do Prices Right on and jam Ira. I'll say two.
The answer is zero.
See, I was closer, DeKemper. I was closer.
So we'll give you that on the Prices Right factor, but you went over, so you both lose. So there you go.
Yeah.
Fournette was catching balls, Steve. Fournette was catching balls. You got to give him credit.
And it speaks to, you know, when it really counted, I think he had two targets in the postseason, Rojo, no catches, and, you know, those weren't exactly downfield throws. They know that third down's not his down. So, yeah, right. I guess they're proceeding accordingly where they really don't plan to play him on third down. And that could speak toward Rojo's eventual departure if he feels like, I am a three down back and maybe somebody will actually pay me like a three down back. You know, it's just something to watch moving forward. Ira, tell us what you love about that Big Storm Tropic Pressure Golden Ale that you brought home from the draft party. And have you tried the Sunny Key Lime yet?
I've tried both. Fantastic. Now, Lee and I, during the draft party, we were drinking a different craft beer. I believe it was Bay Beer.
Bay Beer.
And that went down very nicely. I had a couple of them. It made the draft night go by very quickly. Next time I'm in Big Storm, which won't be long from now, I'm going to try another one because there's so many and they're all good. I haven't had a bad one yet. Steve, I got to thank you for giving me those take home. They were finished in about 3 days, polished off.
Ah, that's a lot of beer, Ira. Big Storm tap rooms are in Odessa, in Orlando, at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, coming soon to Ybor City, and the flagship location is in Clearwater on 49th Street. Beautiful outdoor covered patio there, and the indoor tap room. Live music schedule can be found at Big Storm on Facebook. Follow them, Big Storm Clearwater, or just Big Storm Brewing, or all the locations. We love Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Ira, Arian's sat down with, of all people, Dan Cilio on something called the National Football Show.
Oh, my. Oh,
and
my.
Arians actually said that Tom Brady became fearless at the deep throw. And really the strong implication, as in the context of Arians talking about the growth of the offense in the final eight games, and he disagreed with Cilio on some of the premise of the growth of the offense. But Arians actually said that Brady became fearless at the deep ball, which, of course, sort of makes you think, hey, he wasn't really fearless before. And I don't know, that I thought that was interesting, and it makes me wonder how much more they're going to be going deep this season.
My first comment is he went on Dan Cilio, so that leaves J.P. Peterson's got to be next, Lee. J.P. Peterson's got, he's got to be in the On Deck show.
I got to defer to J.P. And, you know, when Steve told me he was on Cilio's show, you know, I was asking what he's trying to still get stock tips from Bernie Madoff, the deceased Bernie Madoff.
So J.P.'s on deck. Get ready, J.P. You're our Arians next week.
Right after Brian Bradley.
Seriously, Steve, I think it shows that as the season went on, it's not that Brady's arm got any stronger, but it was plenty strong enough in the first month or two. But his timing was a little bit off on the deep passes. Kind of understandable. He had never thrown to any of these guys before the season started. Not with the, you know, no preseason and crazy off season. I don't have any doubts, not one doubt, guys, that the Bucs are not going to be a dink and dunk team in 2021. Anybody that tries to creep up on these receivers are going to get burned. He threw a couple of beautiful long passes in the postseason. I remember one. Godwin made a beautiful catch, but it was a heck of a throw right down the middle, deep. Brady's got all kinds of arm strength. All kinds of arm strength. And he's going to be 44 in August. I mean, it's just remarkable. Look out, guys. I think the Buck offense is going to be better this year, and it was pretty damn good last year.
Ira Lee wrote something, I believe it was over the weekend, about Terry Bradshaw checking in on Kyle Trask. Bradshaw actually, you know, some he can give great analysis when he's not doing his 20-second silliness on the Fox set and his goofy stuff. And especially at the quarterback position, but he weighed in on second-round pick Kyle Trask and really honed in on a lot of the stuff that Arians has talked about, which is Trask has already fought and grinded and wasn't a blue-chip guy and was a backup in high school and a backup in college and got his chance and really has that edge about him and that chip on his shoulder. Jason Light, in one of his interviews recently, called him a maniacal worker. You know, Bradshaw really likes that and thinks that makes him tough and that he's already a tough guy. And that's the intangible you need in the NFL. What do you make of all that, guys?
I don't know how many times Terry Bradshaw saw Kyle Trask in Gainesville. And I don't know if he's watched any films of Trask heading into the draft or since the Bucs drafted him. So I think he's kind of an outsider looking in here. Lee, all three of us hope Trask becomes a heck of a pro player. But he doesn't fit the prototype, Lee. We got to be honest. He doesn't. And, Lee, I don't want to hear anybody mention Tom Brady and the story of Tom Brady in the same sentence as Kyle Trask. I don't want to hear it.
Uh-oh, you're going to slap around your buddy Peter King.
I just don't want to hear it, Lee, because, you know, Brady's a one-off. There ain't nobody like him. And, yeah, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Trask might have a chip on his shoulder. But these Tom Brady comparisons are stupid. You know, it's been 22 years since Brady, and there ain't been nobody since Brady. So why should we think it's going to be Kyle Trask? We hope he makes it. But, you know, the odds are kind of stacked against him, Lee. Not impossible, but it's going to be tough.
Well, I don't know if anyone thinks it. Is predicting Kyle Trask to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. I haven't read that yet. I know you don't like Bradshaw, so I was expecting you to poo-poo it, but I didn't expect to go that far. Like, Bradshaw. But I know you're not the Bradshaw guy. You don't put much stock into what Bradshaw says. Here's my thing about Trask. I don't think it's a criminal offense to refer to him as Brad Johnson. I don't think that's so awful. Brad Johnson wasn't that bad of a quarterback. You know, now they, oh my God, Brad Johnson was the worst quarterback that ever won a Super Bowl. I said, good goal for it. When did freaking Brad Johnson become Bobby Douglas all of a sudden? I don't get it. Brad Johnson won a lot of games. He brought three different teams to the playoffs. If Trask turns into Brad Johnson, the Bucs are going to have success, maybe even win a Super Bowl. So I don't see when people compare him to Brad Johnson, be, oh my God, Brad Johnson. I don't see that as a negative. Yeah, would I like him to be Joe Montana? Hell yeah. What's the chances of that happening? About like getting struck by lightning. But I don't see a negative in saying he's another Brad Johnson. that means you're probably going to be in a playoff team. You're probably, you may just even be in a Super Bowl.
What you're saying is you're going to be a starter for 10 years in this league. What's wrong with that? Johnson got the ball out quickly. Johnson made smart decisions. Johnson was accurate, wasn't very mobile, didn't have a super arm. You know, in that regard, sounds a little bit like Kyle Trask. Instead of throwing Brady's name out there and being a dummy, you know, it makes a lot more sense to talk Brad Johnson, who was a pretty darn good quarterback, Lee. You're right. Pretty darn good.
Yeah, I hear people say, you know, national analysts, like, oh, my gosh, Brad Johnson, worst quarterback to win a Super Bowl. You know, come on, people.
Ira, I got to take issue with one thing you said. And, you know, of course, there are many, but I'll just choose one.
Oh.
You said the odds are stacked against Trask, and I got to say the odds are stacked in favor of Trask. I mean, he doesn't have to jump in as a second-round pick and start like Derek Carr did with the Raiders coming out. He gets to sit back and learn from an incredible group here, no pressure. He's probably not going to play, and he might not play for 2 years. And I think they're stacked in his favor to develop, and especially if he gets lucky, if when Brady moves on, if the Glazers decide to keep Byron Leftwich as coach, you know, the odds would jack up in his favor big time. Plus, if he does play, and even in practice, at least he gets to work with A-list receivers. I don't know. I think they are stacked in his favor to eventually be a good quarterback.
Well, I guess what I meant, Steve, is that he doesn't fit the prototype of the modern day guys that are getting drafted now. The Josh Allen's, you know, the Lamar Jackson's, the Dak Prescott's. He doesn't fit with the big arm and mobility. So, you know, he's a throwback to the Matt Ryans, the Drew Breeses. And those guys flourished. But, you know, it's a different time now, and people are looking for different things. And I'm not saying he can't make it, Steve, but, you know, he's not Justin Herbert in terms of arm strength downfield. Herbert was fantastic last year as a rookie. He's a little bit different, Lee. Doesn't mean that pocket passers won't come back in the NFL, because you might see some of these guys start to get hurt. You might look at Mahomes. Mahomes is starting to get banged up a little, Lee. The toe, the knee. So, you know, you pay a price. Lee, you always talk about me with that quote that there's a toll to be paid with newspapers. Well, yeah. Lee, there's a toll to be paid for mobile quarterbacks, and always has been. Lee, I wouldn't be surprised 5 years from now if the whole thing goes topsy-turvy and we see a return to more mobile quarterbacks. That wouldn't shock me.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I mean
more pocket quarterbacks, more pocket quarterbacks.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to bring this guy's name up, and I'm going to say something positive and something negative about him. You know, Mike Lombardi tries to push the notion that the most critical element of a running back is not his ability to run. It's his ability to block. I'm like, BS. If that's the case, you put a freaking guard back in the backfield. The primary objective of a running back is to run the ball. And having said that, with a quarterback, the primary objective of a quarterback, and I think Bruce Arians said this when they drafted Trask, is to throw the ball. If you can run the ball, great, but you got to be able to throw the ball. That's the job of a quarterback, to throw the ball, especially in this day and age, in this pass-happy offensive era of the NFL. You can't pass, you're dead meat. You have to be able to throw the ball. Bucky Brooks has always beaten us drum. You have to have a mobile quarterback. This is the modern NFL. You don't have a mobile quarterback, you're limiting your offense, blah, 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 blah. And Lombardi says to Bucky Brooks, are you telling me Danny Marino couldn't play in today's NFL?
I hear you, Lee. I hear you. Sage, let me turn you in this direction real quick. Tom Brady has come out very vocally and on some conference call. No OTAs. He gave some stupid analogy of pitchers don't throw their 90-mile-an-hour fastball in December. You know, basically he wants the players to stand firm against OTAs and the way they are now in spring practices. And the Brady effect, we talk about it all the time, Ira, but I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of Sean Murphy Bunting or O.J. Howard. Tom Brady says something and doesn't really want me to go to OTAs, maybe. Maybe I don't go, even though I'm dying to go and hang out with my friends and work out and impress the coaches. Do you think this hurts Buck's attendance at those spring practices? And how do you think that all shakes out because of what Brady said?
I was a little taken aback by it, because isn't Brady the guy lead that hit the ground running in Tampa and went out to a high school field and brought his merry band of marauders with him?
Scream 1940 Errol Flynn.
Maybe he feels that he's in a position where he's got a platform to talk for the broad range of players in the league and can make things better for the veterans. I'm a little surprised, Lee. Of all people, Tom Brady is the guy that wants to put the brakes on in the off season. I didn't expect that from Brady, Lee.
If I say what I want to say, I'll be lucky to be able to walk down 8th Avenue in Ybor City. Let's just say Brady was talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah.
But having said that, what Steve said, and it shows the difference, for lack of a better term. Does anybody in their right mind think Brady loses a wink of sleep about his job security on the roster? Not starting, just on the roster. Or he's talking to guys, as Steve suggested, guys like Sean Murphy Bunting. Sean Murphy Bunting doesn't know if he's going to start this year instead of maybe Jamel Dean. He doesn't know that. And I'll take that even a step further. Jordan Whitehead. How does Jordan Whitehead know he's going to start over Mike Edwards? Or vice versa? So, I mean, it's a little disingenuous that the greatest quarterback of all time is saying, you don't need off season. You don't need to show up. That's like Bill Gates telling you, you don't need to worry about your checking account. Don't worry about balancing your checkbook.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you look at a couple of positions, Ira, specifically. You got four running backs fighting for duty, and they're all talented. You know, if two of them don't show up, the coaches are only human. And I can only imagine Brady's good buddy and drunken knight escort Ryan Griffin hearing that, saying, if I don't show up, I'm going to be out of a job. So it's a little tough. Ira, we're getting out of here. So give us a farewell address if you have one.
My farewell address is, I'm 8 pounds down. I'm on my way to 20. I'm going to be a lean, mean fighting machine, Lee. And if Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, invites us again to Burns Steakhouse, I'm going to take a pass. As much as I enjoy Sullivan's company, I'm going to take a pass to Kemper, and you got to back me up, because I got to show willpower, Lee. Willpower is being tested by three different kinds of steaks: lobster, lobster bisque, onion soup. I got nothing against Burns. They do a fantastic job. Love the company of Sean Sullivan. I will stand tall to Kemper, and I will not go.
You and Sean King.